want to deliver to you a message that also has a prophetic utterance attached to it for your life, for your family. But this message actually was born out of my wife and I together complaining to God. Oh, y'all don't hear me. I said my wife and I together were complaining to God. It wasn't one of us. It wasn't the other. It was both of us at the same time talking to God about how we believe that, God, did you call us out here to leave us? How in the world do you have us in a place where it seems like, God, if you don't come through, my family is done. I know you didn't call me away from comfort to have nothing. And it was in a place of desperation. And it wasn't spiritual either. Y'all been there, right? Where you just, y'all ain't never just talked to God just straight up. This message today is God's response to our complaining. And I want to share with you the same thing God told us. And from that conversation, our life has never been the same. I owe you everything that has worked in my life. It is my job to pass it to you. I don't believe that I should have all these secrets and all this wisdom that God has shown me, and I don't pass it to you. That's selfish. Everything I know, if it takes me the next 50 years, I am going to dump it. The question is, who's going to be here to receive it? I was reading the parable of the sower. And as ministers, as leaders, and if you're a leader, if you're overseeing a group of people, typically when you do a lot of work, you want to impart into the people you know that are going to receive what you're saying. Anybody like me? Where if you're going to do a whole lot of work to study, you're going to do a whole lot of work to learn, you want to make sure that if people are going to hear it, they're going to be the people that desire it the most. Who's like that? Like, I'm not just going to waste my air. That's not the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower sowed because that was what was on the path for them to do. The sower didn't get bent out of shape when different types of soil acted differently. What's the lesson? I am going to pour until there's nothing left. I'm going to leave it up to you whether or not you really press in to receive it. But I won't stop pouring. Y'all ready for a pour today? All right. So as my wife and I, as I said, we're complaining to God, I'm going to give you all some direct quotes from our complaining. We say, God, why haven't you done what you said you were going to do concerning our lives? Why do we feel like we are not making any progress? God simply replied, I heard your prayer. And I did everything you asked me to. But I'm not done. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. In the New Living Translation, it says, and we are confident that he hears us. Whenever we ask anything that pleases him, and since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he gives us what we ask for. Interesting. Drop down and go over to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 in the New King James. I'm going to pair these two together. All right, just for a quick recap, in verse 14 of 1 John chapter 5, it says, and we are confident. Everybody say confident. All right. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, being confident, everybody say confident, of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work, everybody say good work, in you, everybody say in me, will complete until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. Now, when I'm communicating with others, there are times where I do know what I'm talking about. And not only do I know what I'm talking about, but I have all of the arguments that substantiate why I know what I'm talking about. I have the logic, I have the wisdom, I have the expertise when I'm sharing it with someone. These times are rare, but they do happen. And one thing that drives me up a wall is when I am trying to communicate something, not that I think I know, but something that I really know, and someone is trying to interrupt me to tell me what they think they know, but I know that they're wrong. And it's like, for the sake of our conversation, because I really want you to get what I'm trying to share with you, because it's going to change your life and bring you to a higher level, what I ask them is just wait. Let me finish. And I believe God is telling that to us today. There are things that God is going to bring to pass in your life. And because the passage of time has taken place, because it seemed outside of your quote-unquote plan for your life, you feel like it's your job to interject and tell God now what you need to do. But I believe today God is telling you, wait, let me finish. That's the title of today's message. Wait. Let me finish. Everything you prayed for, God has already done. He's just not finished. Because if we think because it didn't happen the way we thought, it didn't come the way we prayed, that he didn't hear, nor did he not do. But we just saw in 1 John chapter 5 that every time you pray according to his word, he hears it and does it. But you have to remain confident that once the prayer has happened, he now has to bring the work into completion. And that's where we fall off. Because we think that it's going to just magically fall out the sky. Everything we pray for is just going to happen and sit right in front of us. But there's a key component to Philippians 1:6. He that has begun a good work, where? In. Most people miss the work that's going on in for the things they're missing on the outside of them. God is not trying to fix your outside world and neglect your inside character. So there are things during this season of praying and seeing the manifestation that God wants to do to shape your character into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, no matter where you are. See, the issue sometimes is we have too much pride. We are concerned with how is this going to make me look? I thought that by this age I would have this. I never would have thought that this would happen to me. I can't believe that this is going on. What are people going to think because I'm the spiritual one? When God is saying inside of you is where my greatest work happens. The kingdom of God, as I've said before, is an agricultural society. Meaning, the greatest work happens underneath the surface and then springs out. But if you abort mission and do not allow what you prayed for to take root in your heart, you will never see the fruit in your life. But I want us now to take a closer look at confidence. Because there were two scriptures, and I thought initially that 1 John 5:14 is confidence, and Philippians 1:6's confidence were the same thing. And they actually were not. They were two different Greek words. So the first one, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, confidence, here's the confidence that we have in him, is a feeling of boldness, a feeling. But in Philippians 1:6, when it talks about confidence, that Greek word there means the truth, the work of God has already been done in you. And he's bringing what he has done in you out in the open for not only yourselves, but for others to see. Let me slow that down. What God wants to manifest in your life, he is going to put you on a platform to show others that he's good. But if you don't go through the character work in the hidden seasons, when you get on that platform, you'll think it's about you and not the one who's in you. So you've got to understand and have some empathy for people who feel like they're hopeless. So you've got to understand and have some empathy for people who feel the way you feel in between seasons in your life. Sometimes as Christians, we don't share everything about our testimony. We only share the mountaintop. But I want to tell you that there are times in your life where you feel lower than the bottom. You feel like you are an outcast. You feel like you are alone. You feel like, am I doing what God wants me to do? Has God forgotten about me? And the reason why you feel those things is because the people that you're called to talk to are going to feel the exact same way, and they want to know that you are human. They want to know that you are real. They want to know that you understand the things that they understand. They want to know that you bleed the same way they bleed. You feel the same way they feel, because when they see that you're just like them, you give them hope that they too can rise above the circumstances that are trying to keep them down. Do not try to run away from the process of your life, the lonely seasons of your life, because it's in those moments that God shapes your character away from the limelight. God doesn't want another casualty for the body of Christ. Every time I hear of people who've been given wonderful platforms, but their character didn't mature at the same rate of their promotion, it causes more damage than it does good. But I believe according to the outlet, and the reason why God has shaped the outlet the way he has is because he wants people to grow in line with their maturity. Thank God you're not on a platform with some of your character flaws. Thank God that there's not a camera every time you turn around. There's not a microphone in your mouth every time that you speak, because some of us would be on TMZ in the morning if we had a camera everywhere. So God is trying to shave off things that would disqualify you from speaking into the life of others. So while you're complaining like, oh, this is not happening, I thought I'd be further, look inward and see, God, what are you trying to teach me in this season? I remember when the church first opened and I was looking at the king. I mean, it was real quick. It was like one day, boom, this is great, this is perfect. In my mind, I saw this auditorium on the first day filled. That was ego. Because here's the thing about this auditorium being filled. When this auditorium is filled, those in this auditorium are bringing their children. And if I only have one children's church leader, that will open us up to a lawsuit if something happens, and this church will end before it starts. So I've realized that as the church, as the leader grows, then the church grows. When the church grows, he sends more people, because God is not interested in sending sheep to get hurt. So what you're seeing, for those who've been around a while, it's like, oh my goodness, we have more people coming. Look at this, Jesus. Oh my God, that thing empty. Oh, he is called Jesus. Well, it's all based on how we all embrace what God is doing. This is character, inside work. See, if we don't have our attitudes together, we're not practicing walking in love with each other, he's not going to send more people to exponentially increase people not walking in love with each other. Because God will only give you, because he loves you, what you're able to handle. Can you imagine if your character is jacked up and he gave you too much freedom? Where you would then make the success God over God the Father? Well, I thought I'd be shouting on this message, but it's very pastoral today. So when it comes to confidence, the confidence that God wants us to have is first based in the truth that God's going to perform what he said concerning my life. And from there, that's where boldness is produced, that feeling. But your confidence should never be in what you could do or what you could buy. It should always be in what God is doing on the inside of you. So how? Because there are times where we're supposed to have confidence, but we don't feel confident at all. We don't feel bold about what God has called us to. We actually feel quite timid. So how can I have confidence even when I don't feel confident? It's about changing the perspective of your life from what you see to what God sees. See, when your mind is channeled in on this one way that you believe things happen, then what you will discover is that you're going to miss the way God wants it to happen in this season. This is the only way that this opportunity is going to happen. This is the only way I'm going to get selected for this. It's the only way that God is going to bless me. It's right here. Well, then if you could call it, you wouldn't need God. So he wants you to relinquish what you think and trade it for what his thoughts are. Isaiah 55 and 8 says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine." Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. I want to show you from the story of creation how to have confidence even when you don't feel confident. Because I want you to notice that when you're not confident, it's because your eyes are on something that you were never called to look at. Genesis 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to look at some key words here. It says, "In the beginning, God," I want you to notice that, "in the beginning, God, before you were, he is. He created the heavens and the earth." So I want to show you now principles about how God creates your life. "The earth was formless, empty, and darkness covered the deep waters." When you're looking at your future, it seems like there's so much to do and so little you know in how to do it. In the King James, it says, "without form, void." The word void means chaos. "And it was dark," meaning I think I can see, but I'm not sure if I can see. It says, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said," we spent 21 days spending time with the Lord, who at the beginning of this year feels like it's without form and it's without void. And as it's without form and void, the Spirit of God has been hovering over your life. And the question is, are you going to allow God to speak over what you feel like is filled with chaos? What area of your life right now feels like you don't know what you're doing? God is over that area right now, asking you, "Will you just trust me in this? Will you believe what I have to say about this area, not what you have to say?" I really just feel led. I need to just say this. In 2019, can you just get your thoughts out the way? Can you get what you think and just put it to the side? Because what doing what you feel like doing and how you feel like doing it, how that been working for you? How about we just say, "You know what? I'm just going to trust. I'm just going to obey." Drop down to verse 29. I want to show you all a principle today that we could just latch on to and take home with us. I want to show you all something. In verse 29, it says, "Then God said, 'Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food.'" Very important. "And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Everything that has life." And that is what happened. And so then God looked over all he made and saw that it was very good. God looked over everything he made and said that it's very good. I want you all to kind of lock in right here. I want to show you something that, as I was reading the story of creation, I had never seen until we put these words together. So God gave them every seed they needed, every plant. He said that all the fruit was theirs, and everything he created, it was good. Now, this is called an argument in the text. Drop down to Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And on the screen, we're going to put up the tree of life first. And I want to show you something. So at the end of Genesis 1, God said that everything he made was very good. Everybody say very good. So when God says something is good, wouldn't you agree that he's right about that? But here's some argument in the text. So this is the fun part of preaching, where you hear what God said, but then you have a scripture that seems to contradict what he says. But I want to show you something. In Genesis 2, 4, and 5, boom, it says, these are the genealogical records of the heavens and the earth when they were created. At the time when Adonai Elohim made the land and sky. Now watch this, you all. Here's the tension in the text. Now no shrub of the field was in the land yet, and no green plants of the field had sprouted yet. Wait a minute. In Genesis 1, in verse 30 and 31, God said that everything he made was good. Didn't we see that? But we just read that nothing had sprung forth at all. Everything he said would happen hadn't happened yet, and he said that was good. The lesson that we see from the two texts is found right here at the end of verse 5. For Adonai Elohim had not caused it to rain upon the land or activate because there was no one to work the ground. You have to be in the right place before what God has planted in you can spring forth and you produce. But because I don't see it, I feel like he didn't do it. And so I stopped moving. I stopped working toward things. One of the most frustrating things starting a church is nobody knows who you are. You all should see how many posts, how many things I've written, how many times we get on Facebook Live, and nobody is there. But one thing I do know is that I'm not moved by what I see today. I'm moved by where God has called me for tomorrow. So every day you have to get up, even if it's just you and God talking, then you and God need to talk. Every now and then, if you have your own business, buy from yourself just to let you know that God has not forgotten about everything that he's called you to do. Every now and then, you need to look at yourself and talk to yourself about how successful you are. See yourself based off of what God has called you to do. But don't stop moving. Don't stop moving. This time of year takes me all the way back to last year. And I remember vividly being in a place of God. I sense that there is something coming. I just don't know what it is. And when I was in a season of 21 days of prayer. When the 21 days of prayer happened and ended, the Lord said, I didn't ask you to get out of 21 days of prayer. So I extended my fast beyond when the church said it was over. And before you knew it, I was in February, still on the same fast, so that my spirit could be built up enough to not stop moving. February happened. February 3rd, February 4th, February 5th, February 6th. I am still in the fast. February 7th, February 8th, my birthday, I broke that fast. February 9th. 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, I ain't think about the fast. February 14th, God said, it is now time to pick up another one. I want you to spend 40 days praying and fasting. And he was specific. He said, I want you to do a word fast, which deals with you eliminating toxic words out of your life for the next 40 days. 40 days from February 14th, to the end of that was Resurrection or Easter Sunday of 2018. The Lord said, I want you to do a 40-day fast. So when I picked up the 40-day fast, I went to work and got fired at the beginning of a fast where he said, I don't want any toxic words coming out of your mouth. I can't change what God said because a circumstance happened, because God knew the circumstance was coming before anything ever happened. So in the midst of that fast where I could not open my mouth and set it off, because God had already shut my mouth because he knew where I was going. Because until I'm in the place where I'm supposed to be, I will not produce. So in the midst of that 40-day fast, the Lord began to bring supernatural things. In a matter of 5 days, if I told you all the story, I went from not having anything to having an entire church dropped in our lap. Could not believe it, because we could not stop. There was a place that God wanted to get us where we were to produce. This is what most people don't know, and I'm going to share with you today. And I just shared it with my wife last July. So again, this is March, right? In the middle of the 40 days the Lord had me to fast, I was approached by a church out of state with 9,000 members and two campuses to be the new senior pastor. In the natural, my wife and I, we had nothing. So I'm looking at what I thought was God answering a bad situation with something even greater, a little nan nanny boo boo. But because I was sensitive to the Spirit hovering over our situation, because I knew what God had called us to do, he had led us. See, some people say, why did you get the word out about this church starting so fast? We had to. Because if I didn't, I know me. I don't have that much willpower and strategic planning. I am, like, this church seems very strategic. That is authentic intelligence. That is not this guy right here. If I did not commit publicly to launching the outlet, I would have taken that job because I thought about being a provider first for my wife. But in that moment, because my spirit was open, I said, God, this lit. But I got something. I don't know how we're going to do this. He said, Vince, I am going to allow you to see what the outlet will be, not what the current job is that you're being tempted with. And in that moment of praying and fasting, I was able to see into the future of what the outlet would be. And I held on to that and kindly turned down that offer to be the next lead pastor of a two-campus church out of state, and gave away my nan-nan-nan-boo-boo. What I didn't know is right after that, everything we needed started coming into place. Everything people said would take years took days waiting for us, because God is waiting for us to get into the place that he called us to produce. Now, as a husband, I could not have told my wife about that opportunity, and she got so mad. I'll never forget, we driving on 285 and say, hey, babe, did you know I was offered to pastor a church? You were what? Why you ain't tell me? Because the last time I told you we were moving, you packed the house in 3 hours. So sometimes as the husband, God speaks to you. You have to make the decision. And you have to be confident in his word over what you feel. And you have to be willing to be unpopular in your house. Because if I know I would have told that wife, because she do some things that just make a brother change his mind all the time. I would have been packing the house myself. You know, baby, I had to go ahead and put this mirror off the wall. Let's go ahead and get this packed up. You know, I don't even like pastor. No way. I want to go do this. I knew I couldn't. But now you fast forward 12 months later to where we're standing right now. There are things that have taken place in our life that I cannot wait to share with you. But they removed every single thing negatively that was done to us over the last 12 months. And they have returned double than anything I could have ever done in my own strength. I wish I could tell you all the have. But don't get moved. Don't become frustrated because of the way things are. Keep moving, and when you're in the place you're supposed to be, you'll produce. Let me end with three types of obedience. Three types of obedience. And I'm going to tell you right now that with these three types of obedience, you've got to make a decision as to which one you'll be. I'm going to give you the secret. You want to do the proactive. Proactive is when you obey God, there's no immediate result from your obedience. Are you willing to obey God when it seems to everyone like you missed God? Most people, they do immediate obedience. Let me act now. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, that was it. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I did what God said, and boom, all this happened. Most of us live in delayed obedience. The Lord's been talking to you, and you've been dragging your feet. And you wait until you don't have any other choice but to obey. I want you all to stand to your feet, because I want to speak a prophetic declaration over your life. Because at the top of the year, everybody wants a brand new year. They want change. They want all these type of things at the top of the year. But change will not happen by motivation alone. I know you desire change in your life. I know you want to see some things different. But true transformative change happens from when you're motivated. You then become determined that life will not be the same way it was a year ago. I want you to be determined to not go back. When things get tough, the greatest temptation is to go back to what was. Your past seems attractive. I can't tell you all how many times. In my heart, my spirit, did I ever question if the outlet was going to work? In my spirit, no, I didn't. In my head, who Jesus? I can't tell you how many times I crawled in my wife's lap. Yeah. Doesn't sound too manly, does it? And I told her I feel like such a failure. But in my heart, I know I'm not. But with my eyes, I don't understand. Why did this happen to us? What did we do to deserve it? Well, the Lord, he gently stopped me and said, I want you to change your perspective to what happened, from what happened to what I've done. And what did you do to deserve that goodness? How did you go 10 months with no salary? No income. No support by people said that they were going to support. How did you do that? Focus on his goodness. How do you keep pushing forward? How do you keep smiling and choosing the high road when you feel like knocking if you buck? Focus on what he's done. how he's the sustainer of my life. And have I ever gone one day without having what I needed? Not at all. Because this today is our daily bread. And then day after day goes, and then it's a week. Then week after week goes, and then it's a month. And then month after month goes, and it was a year, and you realize you had nothing to do with how good God has been to you. But when you made a decision to be determined that no matter what, God, I trust you. I let go of every person who has ever wronged me. I choose to walk in your love. No matter what is said, I choose to walk in your love. No matter what is indirectly thrown, I choose to walk in God's love. And it's in his love that he holds our world together. You then get information in his word, and then he reveals to you and gives you revelation. But I want to speak right now a prophetic declaration over every person that's under the sound of my voice. These words came from the throne room of God. And I want you to remove cynicism right now from your life. I don't want you to hear this and say, that's not, you're not talking. You need to hush. Even if you can't believe it right now, receive it right now. This word that I'm sharing with you, I have inside of the Bible app for you. You can copy and paste it and put it everywhere. But God is talking to you. He says, this time next year, you are in the driver's seat and you're in control over how fast what is in you springs forth out of you. This is all a matter of shaping your will to align with God's will for your life. I speak life, or I speak over your life. I speak over your family. I speak over your calling, your business. They all shall be with supernatural acceleration and increase of influence accompanied by God's wisdom. May you have keen discernment to know who, what, where, when, and how you should conduct your life. May everything you need suddenly surround you. And may anything that would hinder you depart, even if you're trying to hold on to it. This time next year, as you obey the leading of Holy Spirit through his authentic intelligence, may your life and everything connected to you reflect the tangible presence and glory of God. You are continually empowered, continually equipped, continually developed, and continually deployed to go to new heights. Receive it in the name of Jesus.